You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Beth B. Beth, thank you so much for talking with me today.
I'm super excited to talk with you.
So, Beth,
what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about your work. You know, you produce an enormous amount of films. I mean, over 30 films, and of course, have a very well-known mother, Ida Applebrook, who I interviewed several years ago. And I want to start with what you're working on now, what film or project you're doing at the moment, what you're involved in.
Well, I'm just finishing the edit on a feature film that is about one of the most extraordinary psychosexual transgressives alive, and that is Lydia Lunch, who I've known since I was 23 years old, and she was 19 years old. And I've worked with her over the years on different film projects, but this is a documentary that really focuses in on her life, her electric artistry, her confrontational, amazing way of challenging an audience, whether it's doing spoken word performance or in one of her bands. She's really a completely authentic and unique individual. So I've been really, challenged in a lot of ways to tell her story. And it has been a huge challenge. I think the most difficult film I've ever made, but in many ways the most gratifying and satisfying film.
And why so difficult? I mean, in a way, when I think of, you know, some of the films you've made, I think Final Exposed, the one where you're, you know, talking about a lot of people in the downtown scene, many of which actually I knew, like Juliet Les Muse and Tigger and Dirty Martini. I used to DJ for the burlesque shows that a lot of them were involved
in. Oh, how fabulous. Wow.
And they're all kind of wonderful people in this really interesting scene. And So I would think Lydia Lunch would be a walk in the park for you after you've worked with all these other people. So why is Lydia so different? And as a filmmaker, you know, you certainly are used to artists that are as eccentric as they come and have all kinds of, to a general audience, oddities. They produce work that's disturbing, that's difficult, that's hard for people to digest. Why Lydia Lunch is more difficult than the rest?
Wow. Because, you know, the other people you've described, they're kind of light in a way, very light and positive, and, you know, there's an energy that is very different than the one that Lydia projects. Lydia scares us. She can really provoke. She is extremely dark in the way she views life and politics and romance, and there's a brutality there that is unleashes that. There's the brutality that she unleashes onto the audience in a way. So even though I've known her all these years, it's very different to train a camera on someone and to get them to open up in a vulnerable way than just sort of being in a room and talking to them. And she's a very big critic. So, of course, I want to portray her in a way that she will be happy, but that's not what I do as a documentary filmmaker. You know, that is not my priority. My priority is to really make a career-spanning portrait of her that is uncensored, and meaning uncensored by her as well. so not getting her approval, but putting in what I think is critical to put in to tell her story. And she has an unusual story. It's not one that most of us have traversed. And there are dark sides of it that, you know, as a filmmaker, you have to, what you film, you also take into your own mind and body. And especially when you're editing, you keep watching the same footage over and over and over again. So in some ways, there's a merging with your character. So I think emotionally and psychologically, it's been difficult and yet transcendent. So it's hard to explain why it's so difficult. The extraordinary part of it is that I did finish a cut that I was happy with, and I was petrified to show it to Lydia because she is the biggest critic. But she cried after the film, hugged me, said she loved me, and that nobody but me could have ever made this film because I just totally get her. And it's true. I think she has a brand of feminism that is very unpopular, but I get it. And I think when you've had traumatic experiences in your life as a man or a woman, it gives you greater insights into other people who have had that. It's almost like you could be in a room with 300 people and you can, through electrical forces, be driven to that person in the room who has that kind of connection with you. Hmm. So I feel very joyful about it now, but it's been very difficult, you know, and also to condense down. I mean, she has such a vast oeuvre, you know, the number of bands she's been in, the number of styles that she has embraced in her work, the number of spoken word pieces. So I really had to sift through a lot of material, and how do I bring those creative, extraordinarily powerful moments into her story? You know, because for me, making a film is not just about, like with Call Her Applebrook or the film Exposed, it was not just about showing this creative person's art practice. It's getting inside what drives this person on a very deep level. What is it that provokes this kind of obsession? And I usually pick obsessional people or people who are dealing with very transgressive concepts.
So let's get into some of those maybe concepts. I mean, and certainly that makes sense. Growing up in the environment you did with your mother and the kind of subjects you're choosing, you know, there's a lot of difficult issues that you've been exposed to from an early age. So with Lydia, in terms of where you are now, and she's seen the film, and she doesn't hate it. In fact, she loves it. When you look back on creating this whole film, I was going to ask you, like, what images burned into your mind or something that's almost, you know, impossible to remember or not think of when you think of Lydia. But I think I'm more interested in what you took from that, because you're working with so many, your films have touched on a lot of figures who are doing difficult work or transgressive work. What did you learn, I guess, from this whole project with Lydia? Was there something you took away from it that made you different than who you were before you started this project?
Yeah, it's interesting that you asked that question, because I feel like through the process of actually making this film and the last two films, but maybe more specifically this film, I feel like I have come full circle back to my roots.
And let me just stop you for a second. And the last two films were Call Her Apple Blue and Exposed. Is that
and
correct?
And Exposed, yes. Yeah, so I guess I've come full circle back to my roots in a different way with each film. So with Exposed, I think I came back to a truly uncensored, extraordinarily liberated way of being in body and mind. So I think it brought me back to that place when I first came to New York City in the late 70s. And I felt like that. I was completely open and liberated. And the more extreme, the better. You know, I wanted to see things I could never even imagine. And I did in New York City in the late 70s. And the more, you know, blow my mind. Show me something that will really disturb me. That's what I needed. That's what I wanted. And Exposed really celebrated that. I think that with Call Her Apple Brug, it brought me back, obviously, to some difficulties, you know, regarding my childhood. You know, my mother had a breakdown when I was 13 years old and was Great Depression, hospitalized, was in and out of mental hospital, and then left the family for a while. And, you know, it was funny. She kept saying to me during the course of the film, "You film so much. You don't need to film anymore. What do you stop filming?" And I kept saying, "I need you to talk about that moment in your life when you, in a sense, had to leave the family in order for you to pursue your art career," because she was not pursuing a fine arts career before that time. She was kind of dabbling in the basement, doing coppery enamel, this and that. She was not pursuing a career. And so I had to really wait till she was ready to talk about that and to delve into that in a very honest and emotional way, which she did finally. And that was very painful for me, bringing up those memories of what had happened and what, in, you know, mental illness, that it doesn't stop. You get some medication, you do therapy, you're hospitalized, it doesn't stop. It depression continues with most people through a lifetime. So it was revisiting something that I have revisited with my mother, you know, privately over time, but this was really, in some ways, informing her journey as an artist and what a lot of her work is about. So that brought me back full circle to, you would say, childhood, okay?
Right.
This is a long-winded way of answering your question, but
It
kind of triggered in the last three films what I think I am discovering about myself, and that each film is highly personal to me. It's not just personal in regards to the person I'm making the film about. It's not just their journey. It's my journey on a very private level. And so I think with Lydia, you know, I met her in the late 70s when I was, I think, very naive about a lot of things. Had just come to New York City, and I was extremely idealistic, thinking, I'm going to change the world, you know, my work is going to change the world, and you just watch me explode. And to a certain extent, that did happen in that time, in the late 70s. There was a lot of work that I did, people like Lydia Lunch and others to follow, that, you know, tapped into a kind of a psyche and emotional disturbance that had not been discussed. You know, trauma, nobody talked about that. Molestation, nobody talked about that. So it was a new way of creating, and I think for me, I can only say for myself, it was a new way of sort of creating a feminism that was not rooted in the feminism that preceded that time. So it was breaking a lot of boundaries. And in some ways, I feel like in my life today, now I'm a mother of an extraordinary 16-year-old, and I have this, you know, what I think is, you know, a wonderful, wonderful life, but I'm brought back to reevaluating, like, how important is my work? Where is my idealism today? And I think that with Lydia, it reignited my idealism, because at my age, 64, I keep working, keep working, keep working, and you keep hoping, okay, you know, you're going to, in a way, break to, I don't know what you're looking to do. I don't know what I'm looking to do, but I want larger audiences, because I feel that the voices in my films are so critically important. People like Julie Atlas Muse, Rose Wood, Matt Fraser, Dirty Martini, what they are saying, what they are doing, like Ida Applebrook, like Lydia Lunch. It's really important to hear these voices that are not heard in the mainstream. They are saying things, and that's what Lydia makes very clear, the way that I have edited the film, is that she's been in some ways saying the same thing for 40 years in different ways. But when she performs Conspiracy of Women, and that was in the 1984, I think, what a powerful, extraordinary performance. And it's about war, and it's about women, and it's about brutality and the hierarchy. All those things are still in power. But we can't silence ourselves. And that's what the beauty of art is, you know, and the beauty of the way I make films. I make them very small. I do most everything myself. I won't be silenced. People like Lydia Lunch will not be silenced. And that really brings me back to the late 70s, when I had extraordinary idealism that my voice would be heard. And I focus on people, like most of my films are about power and control. They're about the voices in society who are unheard. So that's how I would answer your question.
So you know, I'm really glad you said all that. So, you know, that's your approach, but specifically with Lydia Lunch, after finishing that, you said, you know, like with those two films, you came full circle. There was something, you know, you discovered about yourself. There was a kind of an investigation there. This is, as you're saying, as much about you as the subject of your film. So with Lydia, was there something specific that you took from that's still with you? Was it an understanding of your sense of feminism or your initial impulses for wanting to be a filmmaker? Was there, I mean, maybe I'm asking too specific a thing, but I'm kind of looking for something specific that you took from her, that you learned from her, that was surprising, because she's such an extreme character and because this was such a difficult film that sounds like a triumph in the end. What was the personal triumph for you, or the personal takeaway, in a sense?
I feel like there were a lot of them. So, you know, I think just thinking about in our daily lives, what are we giving as opposed to what we are taking? And where is our heart? And Lydia, that's, I think, what even struck me in the making of the film was, she's such a pussycat. You know, behind this, she sometimes can be very scary. And I remember when I first met her, you know, and I would see her on stage, Teenage Jesus and the Jerks, it was, to me, it was frightening. I was scared of her. Getting and I feel like I've gotten to know her a lot better through the making of this film, is that she gives a lot to people. And she is very embracing to those around her. She likes to cook for people. She, like, if you go over there, she's going to, you go there, she's going to have this wonderful meal for you. You know, there's a different way of separating, I guess, the onstage persona and the offstage persona. And that was new to me. I really didn't understand that about Lydia. In terms of myself, I don't know if this is the takeaway from making this film, but through the course of the film, it became really clear to me that, and maybe it's because I've been dealing with this for the last year, thinking a lot about this, is that my career is not the priority in my life as it was for many, many years. Because at the end of your life, it doesn't really matter. It's like a hard thing to say. What matters are the people who are around you, who you love and who you've given time to, and they've given you time. And I think Lydia really cultivates that. She has a community that surrounds her, that supports her, that's really vital and critical, as much as her career is important to her. And for me, in my life, I've come to really understand that a career cannot make you happy. What really stays with me day to day and year to year is my family of choice. My daughter and my husband and my friends and my colleagues. So it's in some ways finding new priorities for myself and knowing that as I love my career and my work, it's definitely an escape. I love to just go in the editing room and be in there for hours editing. No greater joy. But you know, in your older years, that cannot sustain you. With many people, it becomes a torture.
When you talk about these people that are this kind of support system, you know, it to me, you're talking about family and other things in it. I also relate to that. This interview series is
absolutely
the type of community to me. But it's not that I... You know, I see you or these other people a lot. I talk to people by phone. So, and you're talking about family as well. And Beth, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Brainerd. Love it.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.